just talk to my baby on the telephone. She said, stop what you're doing, baby, come on home. I can't hold out, I can't hold out too long.
Welcome to Lone Holdout. I'm your hostess. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that my name is Emily Brinkmeyer, but this episode isn't about me. I am not the one who held out this week. I found a hell of a holdout for you, and I can't wait to talk about it. But first, I'm going to go ahead and introduce you to the voices you're going to be hearing. I am very proud to announce the second coming of Father Jim Jesus. It's my friend John Verser. Hi, John.
Howdy.
And as for the second voice, I mean, come on. You know what I'm going to say.
George Lucas.
It's one of my...
Bob Costas.
It's one of my favorite people on Earth. It's Frankie Frayen. Hi, Frankie.
Oh, hello, Emily. How are you? It's so good to be able to communicate with you through a computer.
And like
Wait,
I
you can do that?
And like I said, this is not the story about how I tried something new. This is about John. And John... I was shocked. I had to clutch my pearls and faint on a divan when I heard that you had never watched the Star Wars prequels.
That is correct.
And I had to rectify that immediately. You live about 5 hours away from me.
Rectum being the operative word.
Yes, I had to rectify the situation immediately. So we had a rare day together, and I dragged you back to my apartment and forced you to watch all three movies.
I know, all at once.
And I brought along friend of the show, Fernando Castro, and he helped hold you down while, you know, hold your eyes open.
Which is very difficult about 4 o'clock in the morning.
But. Yeah. Hopefully my prudish neighbors didn't see two guys going into my apartment early evening and... leaving again the next morning.
Well, maybe you wanted them to.
Maybe I wanted them to. So,
I do imagine watching the prequels would be a lot like Alex in A Clockwork Orange. Just like front row, just like, I'm cured! Praise God! I no longer hold out! You're not cured, Alex.
We are going to be talking about John's experience watching it for the first time, but before we do that, Frankie... I think people kind of know what our deal is, and that is when it gets to be time for me to put out a podcast and I don't have any ideas, I call you up and you fill an hour being delightful.
But this
episode was always going to be you. There was never not going to be you.
Oh, this sounds like a romantic. This sounds like a romantic comedy or something. Like it was always going to be you.
It was always going to be you, Frankie, because you have such a special relationship to the Star Wars prequels.
I do.
And I want you to go ahead and tell that story.
All right. So I, like many people in America or in the world who saw the Star Wars prequels, hated them. I grew up loving Star Wars. Star Wars was one of those huge movies, a series of films that that kind of opened my imagination, made me want to be a filmmaker to some extent. And so when the prequels were released, it was like the highest, most anticipated thing in the world. And of course they were disappointing. I mean, I saw Phantom Menace when I was 11. That's kind of where I am in terms of age. And I saw Attack of the Clones. No, is that true? I think 12 I was Phantom Menace. And I saw Attack of the Clones when I was like 16 or 17. And by the time I was that age, I was making films and making short films. And I had a lot of opinions, who more than a 16-year-old boy would have charged up opinions about the Star Wars prequels, especially Attack of the Clones, which is arguably the worst of the three. And I was in an intro to video class, or maybe it was like a mediocre video class. not medium, like mediocre. And the video teacher was like a news guy, and he knew nothing about what sort of work we should be doing. So he was like, why don't you make like an animation with like South Park heads and like Star Trek voices? He had no idea what he was asking. So my friend Corey and I went off and made Lord of the Rings by George Lucas. And at the time, the whole point of it was to enter a video, the New England film and video competition for high schoolers. And we won second place overall with that cartoon.
I actually didn't know that, so...
That's like a very small part of the story that almost never gets told, but... And ironically, too, the guys who won first place, they were one of those films that did just those generic lightsaber battles in the woods. You know, like, that's all it was lightsaber battles in the woods. And those kids ended up going to Emerson, and I totally met those kids. His name was John Wesselcouch from Connecticut.
Wesselcouch.
Yeah. total like
awesome.
Blue Blood.
So theirs was also Star Wars themed. It's just,
I guess, yeah. It was called, I can't believe I remember this. It was called the Stone of Galvania, and it was not. It didn't take place in the Star Wars U, but it did have lightsabers.
Do you think you'd ever have them on DFS?
Fuck no.
No.
I always was like not really into them. Although I met the guy and he was super nice, and I was like, "Hey man, you beat me in a video competition in high school." And he was like, "Who are you again?" And once I told him who I was and what the cartoon was, he was like, "Oh my god, I remember that." So in any event, that was 2003. So I was 16 when I made that cartoon, and I kind of forgot about it. I used it to apply to colleges and stuff because it was kind of a big deal project. The whole thing was animated in Adobe Premiere, like frame by frame, and the drawings were done in Microsoft Paint. It was done over the real faces, and I used mostly clips from the Attack of the Clones DVD, which of course I owned because I was kind of, you know, in order to hate something as much as I hate the prequels, you have to sort of like them on some level too. You know, like you have to like, mm-hmm. like love it so much that you can hate it that much. So in any event, 3 years later, YouTube comes out, this thing called YouTube. And they're like, yeah, upload your stuff. Like if you've made films or videos, you can share your content. So I put up that cartoon, and about a year later, maybe half a year later, I was at Emerson. My YouTube account was linked to my email account at Emerson. And one day my email stopped working. And I logged in and found that my mailbox was completely crashed by comments. And so I went to YouTube. It was all YouTube comments. And I went to YouTube and I thought I was logged in because the cartoon was on the front page. And I was not logged in. Every computer I went to, my cartoon was on the front page. So somebody at YouTube was nice enough to have featured the cartoon on the front page, which at the time was a big deal. And I believe at that time it was in the top 50 most watched comedy videos on YouTube of all time. But we're also talking about of like a year. I mean, the thing only ever got around like 3 million hits total. Nowadays, you know, Rebecca Black does 100 billion overnight just for being dumb. But some cool stories that went along with that include probably the biggest story that goes along with that is I was told by friends that there was this documentary coming out called People versus George Lucas, which was going to be kind of an indictment of George Lucas and also sort of a fan perspective of all of the issues surrounding George Lucas and the creation of the Star Wars prequels.
And last I checked, this is up on Netflix right now for instant streaming, which is how I watched it.
It was number one. It was the number one documentary on Netflix for a few weeks, actually. Yeah, but it's still on. It should still be on Netflix.
Yeah, and I actually watched that before you and I became friends. I'm like, oh my god, I know that guy.
So it was kind of fucked up because I reached out to those guys and said, hey, I made this little cartoon. I don't know if you've seen it. And they're like, have we seen it? We love it. We watch it every day. We quote it every day. We love that cartoon. We would love to. Yeah, we would love to interview you. So I went to New York and they interviewed me, and then I also gave them clips. But what was nuts was that the producer and cinematographer was also the cinematographer of the film that made me want to be a filmmaker, Cannibal the Musical. And I am now friends with that guy, and he texts me every time it's my birthday. But I'm going to have him on Discount Film School. His name is Robert Muratori. He's an amazing guy. And also Alexander Philippe directed the movie, also an amazing guy. But a few other quick stories. It's around that time, by the way, I made the sequel, which was how George Lucas might fuck up Indiana Jones 4. And that was somewhat featured in the documentary as well. But just a few quick stories. I was once at work and I had a young guy working for me. And he found out through the grapevine that I was the guy who made his favorite cartoon that he would always quote in high school. And he lost his shit that I was that guy that he was working for me. Years later, I find out that his girlfriend at that time was Hannah Carpenter, who is like one of the main actresses in my film now. And then Hannah was like, yeah, throughout all of high school, all we ever said to one another was, he's my new dad. Which is a line that Jake Lloyd says in the cartoon. Referring to George Lucas.
That's amazing. Yeah. And that was a joke that came up a lot while we were watching the movies was,
he's my new dad.
Anakin's new dad.
There have been a number of times where we've we hired at one time a guy that used to work at EA Games. He came to work at Emerson, and I interviewed him, and he found out that I made that cartoon, and he was like, oh my God, we used to always quote that at EA. Everybody at EA knew that cartoon. So like a lot of it turns out that, I mean, while it, you know, 3 million is 3 million, it's a lot, but it's also not a lot. The people who are into this shit that are really kind of like inundated by the culture of Star Wars and of George Lucas, they seem to know these cartoons. And I feel like I've gotten to become, I mean, almost guaranteed at this point, George Lucas has seen it. I also happen to know that Mike Stelclasa from Red Letter Media has seen it as well. Because I have a friend who, I have a friend who reached out to him and asked, and he said, oh yeah, I've seen it and I like it. So I'm kind of interconnected in, I'm sort of a scholar of making fun of George Lucas. That's what I'm famous for, making fun of a rich man.
You are quite famous. So, John, not only did we change your life last night watching the movies, but absolutely, now you are in the presence of greatness.
I know.
So I don't know if you could focus and like.
It's really very produce. Very difficult at this point in time to focus on anything.
All right.
So, that said, though, we just watched both cartoons back to back together, and I have not watched them straight through in years probably, and that first one, Lord of the Rings by George Lucas, is really long. I mean, I made that movie. I made that 12 years ago, and all I could think the whole time was like, "Wow, nowadays this would be short, to the point, punchier laughs."
Right, but still very charming, very funny. John was cracking up.
It lives in time.
I enjoyed it.
Well, that's good. It doesn't belong
John,
to me. It doesn't.
No, I'm the target audience.
It doesn't belong to me anymore. It belongs to the fans, which is something that that George Lucas needs to get used to the idea of.
Nice. I see what you did.
You see what I did there?
I did. So, John, we were up till 5:30 yesterday watching the movies.
Today.
This morning.
Yeah.
Watching the movies. So you have seen all three.
Uh-huh.
How you feeling?
Yeah, I've seen better.
So tell me about the experience. Okay, so you've seen the original trilogy.
All kinds of times.
And
it's okay.
It's something that you enjoy?
Yeah. I mean, I watched it a million times or whatever growing up and whatever.
Now, you're a little older than us. Frankie said that he was 12 when the first
ancient.
One came up.
Huh? I'm ancient.
So ancient. So yes. How old are you? You're
34.
34. So you said when the first one came out, you were already in college?
No.
Or you were...
Yes, I think so.
I was born in 1980.
Do you think that maybe you didn't see them before now because it just kind of missed your demographic?
No, I just really had no interest in it.
I
kind of have this thing against movies where they change too many things. And I was like, I just really had no interest in seeing any of them.
So you didn't feel the need to complete your understanding of the story?
No.
Did you find it to be interesting at the least?
It was decent. I don't think it was anything to write home about by any means.
So there's a podcast I listen to called Read It and Weep. And when they're reviewing movies or books or something that's generally known to be awful, they give it a compliment sandwich. They start with a compliment.
Yeah.
Then they make fun of it for a while. And then they give it another compliment. So
that would tell me something. That would be hard with these movies.
So tell me something you liked about watching it.
What did I like the most about?
The experience of watching it with Fernando all night was pretty great because he was actually on a roll with making up jokes and stuff. He was surprisingly, for anyone who knows Fernando, he was joking
around.
Yeah, I've
heard him on the, yesterday was the first time I met him, but I've heard him on a couple of podcasts before.
Yeah.
Fernando's a sharp cookie, man. He and I were passing back and forth the what's on the wrestling one.
Oh, yeah.
He's all right. Yeah.
So he had some pretty good comedy going on related to... Padme saying, "Don't look at me like that." So every time he saw them together alone, he said, "Don't look at me like that, Annie. Even though I'm dressed like this, showing all my cleavage, giving you bedroom eyes, don't look at me like that.
Sand is coarse and it gets everywhere. And you're so smooth, Padme." For some reason, I haven't saved my mother in 10 years. I think about her every second of every day, but...
Oh, my God. That was terrible.
Oh, he was...
That was bad.
He was always dreaming about his mother.
It's in no way explained why in 10 years he never just goes and saves her.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dialogue is a major poor point with this.
Do you have
we were just watching it, and then someone who has never seen it, and I was making up the lines. It was almost exact the same words.
Yeah, we were just guessing what they were going to say, and then it would happen.
Yeah.
So
wait a minute, did you guys watch it? Did you watch it on Blu-ray, or how did you watch it?
It was DVD. Yeah. I went to a video store in Taylor, and my God, this place is awful. About half of what they've got is VHS, which I was impressed by, and just junk ceiling to floor. This place is a fucking nightmare.
Did you go in there by yourself?
Yes.
So you were like out late at night in Taylor looking for trouble, looking for prequels?
It was like 6 o'clock at night. Now, the woman that works there is...
Give me your Star Wars porn.
Super hunchbacked. So this hunchback woman is leading me up and down these aisles that are like go all the way up to the ceiling, trying to help me find the Star Wars prequels. It was impressive.
She leads you up to like the catacombs, and up there it's like Jar Jar with like very, very thin glasses. And he's like a librarian. And he's like, oh, Misa, excuse me. Misa gonna get you a DVD now.
I think the most annoying thing that we pointed out about him was how wooed.
How
he says this, he says it three times.
Excuse me.
That was pretty bad too. But yeah. That was
just the continuation of those things over and over and over again. It's like, my God, please end it.
We were watching.
That was the best thing about the third one is it wasn't so bad.
Oh, right, because he wasn't there. We were watching it with subtitles on, and somehow reading what he's saying makes it all the worse.
Yeah, I mean, when you really think about like Lucas sitting down with a pencil and a napkin. And he's like, all right, I want this minstrel of a character to it's so incongruent with anything that resembles the first three movies. I really don't understand what he was thinking.
Right, because it doesn't seem like the first three movies are meant for children per se. But this had very immature joking.
Like, yeah, but as Red Letter Media points out in its fabulous Plinkett reviews, which we've talked about on the show.
And, absolutely.
And John, now that you've seen these movies, like to me, the best reason those movies were made was so that Red Letter Media could make the Plinkett reviews, because they are works of art and genius.
These are the 90-minute reviews that I was telling you about.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. I told them about them. We didn't get the chance to watch them.
But as they point out, as much as this explanation of like they're for children. You want that to work. They also talk about trade disputes.
Oh, and yeah. It's very political.
That trade thing was just nuts. Every time they brought it up all the time, the trade association or whatever.
But yeah, we were kind of, it didn't turn into a drinking game per se, but we were trying to guess what the next immature joke was going to be. Cause there was a poop joke. They stepped in a pile of dung.
Yeah. He was like, oh, icky, icky goo.
There was, a couple of fart jokes. There was a couple of dick jokes.
Qui-Gon Jinn farted.
Did he?
No. He was like, I'm very sorry, Anakin, but I have a very special set of skills. You see what I did there? It's a Taken sort of a thing.
Oh, I get it. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Have either of you two fucks, are you like familiar with the originals at all? I mean, like, are you fans of Star Wars?
I've seen them a few times. I wouldn't call myself a super fan, but I am fairly familiar with them.
Yeah. All right, hot shot.
John Lesso.
Well, I mean, I enjoyed them, and I watched them. I mean, I don't know that I've watched them in years, but growing up, I watched them repeatedly.
Right, and so, like, Fernando was playing the same kind of role he did in our wrestling episode, where he was the information. If we had a question, we're like, hey, Fernando, what the fuck is going on?
And exactly.
It's like, what the hell is that little machine thing on?
Yeah, he was explaining how like this machine helps it go into hyperdrive. Like he was helping out quite a bit.
We have to understand that like Fernando and I most likely share a common history, which is like before the prequels came out, we bought the books to the Expanded Universe. Are you familiar with the Expanded Universe?
A little bit, and he was. No. He and I did watch the Christmas special together.
Not part of the Expanded Universe. The Christmas special.
He has the video game. He has
what?
Watched the.
You sound like a grandma right now. he's got the video game.
He's watched the animated series, The Clone Wars. He was filling us in on some other parts of the canon.
There are like 25. No. If you told me there were over 100 Star Wars based video games, I would not be surprised.
Okay, fine. He has a video game. Let me clarify.
It's so old. Anyway,
I think my appearance on Slap a Show proves that I don't know anything about video games, but there was a moment where Hector and I were watching a video game review and I asked what HP meant and stares at me before answering. He stares at me and goes,
"Get out.
You really are a novice. You really don't know anything about this." Like he thought I was trolling him the whole time. No, seriously, I don't know anything about video games. So
you don't
be surprised.
You don't like to play them or what?
I have no interest.
All right, fine. But. So but you are a reader.
I have that one PlayStation 1 game that I play over and over. Was it once every 3 months? It's a football game.
Okay.
Oh, I thought you were going to be like, it's The Phantom Menace Part 1. You're like, it's a football. It's a football game.
What do you expect? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
The expanded universe. There are lots of Star Wars books. There are lots of Star Wars comics. There are lots of Star Wars video games. There's Star Wars everything. But the expanded universe describes a series of interlinked books by a series of authors that
and they are considered canon.
That are right? accepted as canon by the fan base, but not necessarily by Lucasfilm. So when Lucas made the prequels, a lot of the story elements in the prequels contradict what's in the expanded universe.
Really?
And at the same time, a lot of the elements in the prequels stole from the expanded universe. Like, for instance, you know the city that keeps popping up in all three movies with a lot of flying cars in the sky?
Sure. Yeah.
That's Coruscant. And that was that was invented by the expanded universe. So he took that.
So was his treatment of the expanded universe considered kind of a slap in the face to fans?
Yeah, definitely. It contradicted a lot of what was kind of laid down there. And now that it's sold to Disney and Disney is like, you know what we want to do is, you know, keep in mind, Disney owns the Marvel universe. So like Marvel right now is doing an unprecedented thing with franchising where every movie is related to the last while existing within its own franchise. So they're making boatloads of money with toys and crossovers and all kinds of stuff. Disney wants to do the exact same thing with Star Wars, and it's ripe for it because not only is it a series of popular films, but it's a series of popular landscapes and toys, and you can have spin-off stories. You can make a Star Wars movie every single year with a different director and probably be successful. So, they want to do that, and in order to do that, they face an important question, which is, do we accept the expanded universe? Do we incorporate that, or don't we? And basically, they're having their cake and eating it too by being like, we love the expanded universe. We're going to re-release some of these books or something. I don't know. They were talking about it a lot, but they're basically saying, no, we're going to make our own films. We're going to do our own thing.
Interesting.
And do we know if they're just going to do the three or they're going to go beyond that? Because it sounds to me like you're describing, they want to go way beyond just the three that are remaining.
The last thing that I heard was that every other year, the three are going to come out. And in between those years, spin-off movies, like a Boba Fett movie is going to come out.
Ugh.
So they're just going to keep making, like Star Wars is going to be a lot like Marvel very quickly. And for me, that takes a lot of the, what's special about Star Wars out of it. Although that went away with the prequels, frankly, once the prequels came out and then, obviously the prequels were not only bad treatments of Star Wars, they're also in my mind like Birdemic level bad.
At times, yeah, there was a flying thing that went by and I'm like, "Fernando, look, oh my god." And we both recognized that it was about as bad as a Birdemic CGI bird.
I mean, sure, maybe not in terms of production value, but in terms of just like ability to tell a simple coherent story.
At times, yeah. I mean, there are times when the CGI got to be too much. And it was looking, like you said, in the videos that we watched, it did look like a video game. Which, I don't know, to have an actor who is on a blue screen or a green screen, and he's interacting with two CGI characters, and there's nothing real except just him standing there.
Hello!
Yeah, hey. at times, it was noticeable and annoying.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just some bad stuff.
Yeah. We could never do as well as Red Letter Media did in terms of like a film criticism of it. I mean, one of my favorites was in his episode 3 review. He does a breakdown of how when the entire scene isn't CG, because often the entire thing would be CG. Like, maybe you remember in episode 3 when Obi-Wan is riding this ridiculous lizard thing that's screaming. Do you remember that? And he's like fighting the robot that has like 15 different lightsabers and shit. That's just all CG. Every bit of the frame, not one element in the frame was shot with a camera.
And I'm thinking of when he goes to the fire planet and this is where Anakin lights on fire and turns into Darth Vader.
So when the scenes are not like that, they are just two people sitting on a couch, not moving, talking statically at one another with shot reverse shot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, so boring. Like even if the writing was as bad as it is, because a lot of people are like, really the problem with those movies are the scripts. And
I mean, like, I found the third one to be the most tolerable. It had some actually good things that I enjoyed, but there were also times where the dialogue was just laughably bad.
Yeah, but really think about the direction too. I mean, there's a moment in the third one where Anakin is on his way to go become Darth Vader. He's going to either kill Mace Windu or he's going to kill the Emperor. It is the moment that you have been waiting for since 1977. And there is a shot on a tripod aimed at a CG room with Anakin, with Hayden Christensen briskly walking by the frame without any urgency. He's just kind of like, yeah. It almost looked like it was behind the scenes footage that they CG'd into the real movie of him just like getting a coffee.
So guys, I actually kind of do want you to do a compliment sandwich. I want you to tell me one thing that you actually do like about these. Cause Frankie, you said that to make fun of it the way you do, you have to kind of love it.
Well, I love Star Wars. That's for sure. Yeah. And for that reason, and I've developed a fascination with what it is that makes these movies bad, because it's such a phenomenon, if you think about it, that three movies could be so hailed as so great and really are great and really do stand the test of time and really are demonstrably good films. And then the same guy who was hailed as the god of those movies turns around and again, and makes basically big budget Birdemic movies. It's just strange, but you want me to say something nice about, all right, I got to do what, two compliments?
Well,
it's going to be tough.
I have one. I got one.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I thought that the casting of Obi-Wan Kenobi was good.
It was pretty good.
It didn't work out. But I thought I thought Ewan McGregor is a very solid, like, young Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
But you can't disagree. No,
I think I'm trying to think of something interesting.
I like what he said.
Yeah, that's pretty good shit there.
yeah. And Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Ditto.
There were very few, like, very solid moments that really stood out to me, but one of them was when he was screaming at the figure of Anakin, who is, at this point, has his legs chopped off, one of his arms chopped off. He's about to light on fire. He is pretty pathetic at this point.
By the way, are you still telling me that it's for kids in that moment?
Oh no! That's the thing, is that I don't know who it's for, but
maybe it's for sick
just the
Andy.
One character is just for kids.
What? The first the one?
The Jar Jar. The whatever.
The Jar Jar ones.
Yeah, he's the only character that's really for kids.
He's for Jar Jar's for plantation owners.
Yeah, Jar Jar is
something
for the mentally handicapped.
Right.
So at this point, he's screaming at this pathetic Anakin who is injured. Right?
You were the chosen one.
You are the chosen one. I actually found that to be kind of powerful.
Oh my god!
So, stop it!
Stop it! I do have one more. I hesitate to call it a compliment.
Okay.
The fucking Emperor is so ridiculous.
That was the same actor that they had.
Yeah.
In the original,
yeah.
Right. Which I thought was pretty impressive. Like that guy stuck it out, you know?
Well, it's pretty cool. Cause when I heard that they were going to do that, I was like, well, that's kind of perfect, because obviously he was kind of a young man when he played an old man in Return of the Jedi. And if you
and now
if,
he's playing a younger version of his old man,
right.
fake old man self.
If you go back to Return, if you go back to Return of the Jedi, I swear, like anybody who did costumes or puppets on those old movies forgot how, because, like. Yeah, in Return of the Jedi, he looks so convincing. He's wrinkly and evil. Like, it's so perfect. He's got yellow eyes, but it looks natural. It looks organic. It looks like his own evilness distorted him. You know, there was no explanation for why he looked that way, other than this is a bad motherfucker.
Right.
And then in these new movies, they put just some kind of weird sort of wax around his face, and it's just kind of lumpy and lame. And he looks so much worse. Because it had to kind of come out of his face, he looks fatter too. It just looks like fat emperor. But but I thought that his performance is so ridiculous in these movies, especially when he's like, no, absolute power. That I quite enjoyed watching that.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course, the Plunkett reviews. The Plunkett reviews is the highest compliment I can give the prequels.
Absolutely. But I think my favorite part of the Plunkett reviews has to be where he's talking about the characters, where he asks his panel of friends to compare, to describe a character, but not describe it based on what they're wearing or what they do, like their job.
Yeah.
And so in the original trilogy, they're able to pin down, Han Solo is like this. He's a rebel. He's kind of mysterious. He's got a heart of gold, whatever. But then you get to Queen Amidala. She has an affected Madonna accent. She's got weird makeup. Like, there's no way of actually describing her. She has no personality.
Right.
And that
accent just goes away for some reason.
It comes and goes, yeah.
I will not.
The whole accents, period, I thought was strange. And some of them had British, and some of them, I mean, just, how did they pick who got what? It was just a very strange.
That's the future accent. That's how we all talk in the future.
Okay,
weird Madonna-affected accent.
Yeah.
I will not condone a course of action that will lead us to war.
Yeah. I was like, you know, is this a British film or what?
Hey, so Emily, you're a total like dork for this kind of thing, so I think you're gonna like this. I'm a
dork for what kind of thing?
Well, why don't you fucking wait and I'll tell you.
Oh, excuse me.
A few months ago I read this thing online that was a proposal for what order to watch the Star Wars films in to get the best possible narrative arc.
Now, I know you're about to talk. Now, my opinion of that.
Yes.
Don't you think it would be better to watch the ones that aren't quite as enjoyable first, so that you can enjoy the ones? And so if you watch them in the correct order, I think you're doing okay. Because I think the first one is generally considered to be the worst. Second one is, okay. Third one has some moments.
Yeah, I suppose.
And then you get into the really good ones.
See, I totally disagree. Because if I watch the first three, I'm not getting to the next three.
Right.
Okay, so you've given up on it after the first three.
Absolutely.
We watched
6 hours worth of movies.
You were about to give up on life after that. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, your eyes were bleeding.
But, you know, getting to the third one was the better one. But if I have to watch 6 hours worth of that shit, there's no way I'm sticking around to get to the better. I don't know, if I watched the first one and it wasn't part of this, I didn't know that I'm getting to the second one.
Okay. That's
much less three and then the better ones.
So what did the proposal say?
I mean, what is there to like about the first one?
Oh, yeah, well.
I'm sorry.
Good.
So, I mean,
That's probably true.
Well, Papa John, that we're about to get into that. The whole deal here is that I'm still with you guys, right? Okay. Obviously, if you had your druthers, which I don't.
Yeah, well, I guess they didn't consult you first before making these movies.
You would not watch the prequels whatsoever. You would watch the original Perfect Three and be happy and go to bed.
True.
But wouldn't you
dream of more? Wouldn't you dream of knowing the rest of the story?
George Lucas has always said this about the Star Wars movies, or at least he started saying it when he started making the prequels, which was the saga of Star Wars, episodes 1 through 6, is the story of not Luke Skywalker, but of Anakin Skywalker, of Darth Vader. That is the main character of the saga.
Okay.
Now.
I think that's right.
If we restructure the entire story, what we are able to do is make Luke the central character of Star Wars by watching it in an alternative order as such. So the proposal is that you remove Phantom Menace entirely. Because it's superfluous.
Okay.
It's superfluous.
Okay, Numbers.
The first, the very first one, which I think, I mean, has the most weak stuff. You've got the kid who can't.
Well, it doesn't have anything to do with him either, if you're doing it that way, too.
Okay.
Is there one thing in The Phantom Menace that is necessary for you understanding the overall story?
I would say no, except for finding out, like, why he's not with his mother. I mean,
exactly. Like, that's the only thing.
You can put that.
Right, because, I mean, you've got Jar Jar Binks, who is considered to be the weakest part. You've got the kid, who is also quite weak. You've got lots of Trade Federation political stuff, which nobody is interested in.
No, and it doesn't play into the other two.
And then you've got Padme, who is...
A wet fish. So you're spot on. You sound like the article, because basically it's like Phantom Menace not only is superfluous to the story and plot, but also contains some of the things that we criticize most about the prequels. So do away.
I would say so. Yeah.
You now don't have a Jar Jar problem. So you've removed that movie from it entirely.
Kind of. How do you feel about his place in the second movie? Because he's there, just for a little while.
He's just a guy. You know, it doesn't really. It would be a little bit strange, but you would adjust. And honestly, it'd be a little strange to be like, how come was Anakin a slave? And you would probably pick that up through context clues, honestly, that he was a slave and he wants to save his mother. You know, you get through that. So what you do is you really the start of this story. We're introduced to the Star Wars universe in episode 4. You watch episode 4 first and you're introduced to your main character, Luke Skywalker. And you make it so that the story is about Luke fearing going down the same path as his father. And so you use the prequels not to watch them before the movies, but as flashbacks to the main plot.
So, which I think...
Kind of like the Godfather 2 thing, where they go back and forth.
That's right. You end up in Sicily by episode 2.
Yeah, and you're going back...
Yeah, I think it would be impossible to watch the prequels never having seen the original trilogy anyway, because of the amount of references they're making. I mean, there's a lot of winking.
Oh yeah, so you do like you watch episode 4, then you watch episode 5, you watch A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back. Now you've revealed, hey, Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father. You get that nice surprise instead of having it ruined by watching the prequels first. And now that you know that, you watch episodes 2 and 3, and then you finish the story with Return of the Jedi.
Interesting.
That's now, the proposed.
Since we're talking about Anakin becoming Darth Vader, I think that actually was one very effective, nice scene where they're putting the mask on him.
Yeah.
Until he starts screaming, no.
Well, right. Now,
no!
Is that kind of related to when they added in the no when he's, like, falling down the mineshaft or whatever? Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, so, as you know, like, one of the part of the overall controversy of George Lucas is that he releases new iterations of the films over and over and over again. And most recently, he released a Blu-ray set that changed shit again. And one of the things that it changed...
Yeah, tell me about some of the new stuff.
The Ewoks now blink.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I heard about that. Does it have an effect? When you look at it, how do you feel?
I think he's just fucking with us. I mean, it's just crazy. I just don't know why he did that. But,
and I think you and I talked about this a little bit on the last episode that we did. Like, the idea of finishing a work and then having to let it go.
Yeah, right. Having to...
give it to the people who are going to take it in.
Go work on something else.
And consider it a dead thing.
Yeah, right. I mean, honestly, I'm joking slightly, but I'm also not when I say I haven't watched the cartoon I made about this man who can't let things go in years. And it was kind of fun. I was like, oh, wow, that's like 16-year-old Frankie making 16-year-old Frankie jokes.
Right.
I'm not going to go back and, I mean, it would be very ironic if I did, but I'm not going to go back and remaster that cartoon because, you know, to make it palatable for a modern audience.
Well, I didn't notice this at the time, but does he blink?
Lucas? No, I didn't put any of the care into that.
Yeah, you should go back and make sure that he blinks. Yeah. I think it's really important.
Or just put a Dubac walking across the screen right in front of him. obviously.
You know, I bet that nightmare video store that I went to in Taylor, I bet they have a VHS of, like, old-timey Star Wars.
It's hard to find.
Playing it.
I own the original CBS Fox Video home video release of Star Wars, and it is full screen. It's not the optimal release. The optimal release was in the early 90s. They released them all on VHS and widescreen. They're the ones that the covers are big faces of Yoda, Darth Vader, and a stormtrooper. Mm-hmm. If you see those, as well as the laser discs, there's also laser discs out there. Those are the only completely untouched official releases of Star Wars, the best you can get. But Disney has released that they're going to re-release them in their original form now that Disney owns it. So that's great.
Now, how are you feeling about the upcoming Disney releases? First of all, when they come out, John, will you see them?
I guess just for the heck of it.
You'll go with me.
Yes.
Okay. And we'll podcast about it probably.
I'm sure it'll be very interesting hearing my second take on Star Wars.
Okay. But how are you feeling about it, Frank? Are you kind of confident that they're going to do a good job?
No.
Disney.
I think
Disney's... No.
I don't know. Disney puts out some pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I'm not worried...
And they've got the money to do it.
I'm not worried about the fact that it's Disney. I mean, Frozen was great. And, you know, Marvel, obviously. Very few people even know Disney owns Marvel. They own the Muppets. You know, everybody's loving these new Muppets movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Disney owns all kinds of great stuff. You're not going to have Mickey Mouse in the frame or anything. I think that Disney is a big enough corporation that wants to franchise Star Wars and do it well, and it wants to do it for a new generation, and it wants to recapture old fans that they lost when Lucas fucked everything up.
Well, and also they've got one major thing going for them, and that's that Lucas is not the director this time.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's right. I mean, it's one of the most exciting things. We used to all think about, like, what would happen if modern directors were able to get their hands on Star Wars? And now that's become a reality, which is crazy.
Right.
The problem is that I don't know if I'm too old, or I've outgrown it, or I'm soured on it, or I've seen Firefly and that's just plain better, or what. But I'm just kind of not, like, Star Wars just isn't fun anymore somehow.
Do you think that has to do with the prequels? Because, I mean, they were so polished, and they looked... And when I say polished, I mean it didn't have the kind of gritty feel that the old ones had.
Yeah, I just don't get this. I don't get the same feeling I used to get when I see an X-Wing, or I see, Boba Fett, or, I just don't get that anymore.
Yeah.
But what I will tell you is this. Now, so that's the negative side. The positive side... is that, and I also was disappointed when they appointed J.J. Abrams, because those Star Trek movies don't impress me. But he seemed like a cheap, obvious choice to me when you could go with a more exciting choice. And they had hired the writer of Little Miss Sunshine and Toy Story 3 to write the first new Star Wars movie. And I was like, hey,
now when you say that, are we talking about two different people? Or are we talking about one guy that did both things?
The only movies he's written are Toy Story 3 and Little Miss Sunshine, both of which are excellent screenplays. Really, really tight screenplays. And when I heard that they hired that guy, I was like, damn, might be a really great movie, because that guy knows his shit. And then due to creative differences, he is no longer working on it. And they got Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. So that's kind of cool, except for the fact that he, like Lucas, like Spielberg, is an old man who makes crap now. So,
Well, what has he done since then?
He's made a bunch of weird, like, romantic comedies and stuff that I've seen on airplanes. They're bad, but his son is actually a really talented director. His son worked on, like, Freaks and Geeks, and he did Orange County and Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story. But anyway.
So from all the things you're telling me, it means that it could be awesome, or it could just be a total shit show.
I mean, if they're going to make a Star Wars movie every year, you're going to get some good and you're going to get some bad.
Right.
But I was watching, J.J. Abrams was doing a, hello from the set of the new Star Wars. And, he was talking about this charity that Disney and Star Wars are teaming up to do for, I want to say it's for muscular sclerosis or something like that. And in the background of one of the shots, a very Star Wars-y, very like 1981 looking puppet walked by, my heart skipped a beat where I was like, damn, like, if that's in the movie, I'm there.
Did it look so? Was it CGI that looked puppety?
No, it was a puppet that someone was puppeteering.
See, I find that to be very charming. I like practical effects. And did they use...
Puppets rule.
Now, in the first one, the Phantom Menace, were they actually using a puppet for Yoda?
Ooh. I know the answer to this, teacher.
Okay. Tell me.
You probably haven't seen The Empire Strikes Back in a long time, but Yoda in The Empire Strikes Back not only looks amazing, not only does this wonderful thing where he's like a comic character that turns very serious, but last time I watched Empire Strikes Back, he brought me to tears. Like, Yoda was sitting there being like, the Force surrounds us and binds us and penetrates us. Muscle, you know, he's like, he was this very like Zen Buddhist character. And I was like, oh my God, this little puppet's making me feel something. It is an excellent puppet. And it took like a team of people doing animatronics.
That was done by Henson's company, right? And which they do amazing things. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen Kermit the Frog ride a bike, but that is
In Muppets Take Manhattan?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah. Do you remember in Muppets Take Manhattan this Italian guy that works at the diner is talking to Kermit? And for some reason, he lapses into like just nonsense talk, and he starts going, "Peoples is peoples." I don't. It's the weirdest scene from Muppets Take Manhattan. But ever since we were going to do this podcast, I've been thinking prequels is prequels, and I just
prequels is prequels.
I just wanted to share that.
Nice. Yeah.
So Yoda. Well, no. I gotta finish.
We're already Yoda. Oh, go.
I gotta finish what I'm saying. Yoda.
But I was going to talk about Muppets. Okay.
Well, we'll get back to them right away. But I just want to make sure Muppets. Yoda was a puppet in The Phantom Menace. Yeah. He looked like dog shit. They all they forgot how to do puppets, and then in the next two, he was CG. And then when they released the Blu-ray, they CG'd the Phantom Menace puppet.
Oh, I didn't see that. I mean, the version we were watching was on DVD. Really,
it's sad to say.
So a couple of thoughts that have been coming up in this discussion. First of all, he's hobbling along on a cane, and then all of a sudden he's flipping around in the air.
Yeah, it was
with his lightsaber. That was annoying to me.
Not to mention, I mean, the worst thing you can ever do is take the point of this character, which is somebody who's so unintimidating and small, and make him what, a combat warrior? No. It demeans everything they did with that character.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, he's like a mutant ninja turtle.
Yeah.
A mutant ninja turtle. I was just going to mention the newer Muppet movies that they've been doing, like the one that just came out,
which I really liked.
I think that has too much CGI for my taste. Yeah, actually.
Yeah. Did they have a bit? Oh, what, like when the Muppets were like walking around and shit?
Yeah, there was a lot.
Yeah.
And I found it to be very noticeable and annoying. Like
the comedy was pretty good though, right?
Oh sure, but I mean, I like my Muppets to be practical.
Oh yeah.
I'm old fashioned. Well, I'm an old fashioned kind of girl.
Frank Oz did Yoda, and Frank Oz obviously is the mind and voice behind Grover and Fozzie and Cookie Monster and Bert and Miss Piggy and everybody. So, but he did Yoda, and he does not like these new Muppet movies. He feels that they're disrespectful to the franchise.
Really?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
He has nothing to do
with that.
He has nothing to do with them.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little off topic, but I'm gonna have to look into that. I think, but.
Wow. This is what happens on Lone Holdout when you deviate topics just a little bit. Like, you get a little bit of, like, shame over it.
Uh-huh. Because I'm super strict. I'm so strict, I drive away co-hosts.
That's
true. Are you leaving me? Is that what this is?
I'm steamrolling back in.
Yeah. If you want to steamroll us at the end of this and tell us stupid Star Wars jokes in funny voices, I would love that.
You're not going to stop me. All right, yeah, sure.
I'm not going to stop you. But maybe these two thoughts go together. The idea of me not liking the Muppets as much anymore because they're too CGI. You feeling like Star Wars isn't fun anymore.
Is it an age thing? Oh,
yes.
And did you say it's an age thing?
It totally is.
Because maybe. But like, are we just too nostalgic for the stuff we grew up with? To the point where we can't appreciate something new.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I remember, granted I was a teenager, but when Lord of the Rings came out, and it was like a new spectacle, broad, big movie event.
That was new, but there's nothing really to compare it to. There's no old Lord of the Rings. I mean, you've got like the animated Hobbit thing.
Oh, but you're saying that like anytime anything gets remade, you're going to kind of be disappointed by it?
I wonder. I mean, because like a new Muppets movie comes out, there have been old ones, and you've got, you know, Sesame Street going back to 1969. You've got old stuff to compare it to. You know, yeah. You talk about the new Star Wars. Well, you've got Star Wars going back all the way to the 70s to compare it to. Like, are we too nostalgic for the stuff we grew up with to the point where we can't enjoy something that's new?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I don't know, man. You could make a Star Wars movie that makes me happy. Absolutely.
I also wonder about the prequels. Was the technology too new to look good?
Yeah, it was very PlayStation.
Or did the technology exist to look good and George Lucas just fucked it up?
I mean, anything over, you know, it's like if you want something to taste good, put butter and sugar in it, right? But if you like just put butter and sugar in everything way too much, then it's just going to be like, yo,
right,
back off.
Yeah.
There's no restraint whatsoever. But I do think that in his excessive, terrible ideas, I think that he actually helped filmmakers a lot. I think he fast-tracked us learning about how CG is not the best tool in the world and that it should be used with some restraint. He fast-tracked that concept.
Right.
By showing us how fucked up it can be.
Which is kind of a shame that it had to be done with this project that people were waiting for so long. Like 30 years or something?
Some people will argue with you that you know, it doesn't erase the old ones, even though, you know, he basically has tried to erase the old ones. But, you know, you'll always have the old ones. Those will be your Star Wars forever. You go watch those, and these will be somebody else's Star Wars. You know, don't let it ruin it for you. But I have to admit, like knowing that they all kind of live in the same universe. Sometimes, like, when I'm walking around in like, a Target or a Toys R Us, and I see this Clone Wars shit, and it doesn't even resemble, graphically speaking, it doesn't resemble anything that I ever identified or liked as Star Wars. It bums my shit a little bit. And but you know, I gotta say, a couple of years ago, I think like 2 years ago now, Nina and I sat down and watched the original trilogy, even with all of the changes, on Blu-ray on a 65-inch television with surround sound, and it was a good goddamn time. Nice. I was surprised by how actually good the movies were, and not just because I didn't remember them as well as I thought I would. And I kind of re-experienced them.
Were there any of the changes that stood out so much that it kind of took you out of it?
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember listening to, I think it was a Howawi, where you guys talk about the changes that happened to E.T. And I remember going to see E.T. in theaters when the changes had happened. And I could see them and feel them, even though it had been a while since I saw E.T.
Yeah, the E.T. stuff was batshit. I couldn't. I actually had to stop watching the version we were watching, and I went and torrented an old version, and then we picked it up from there because I just couldn't stand it. But I mean, we were watching like especially one that stands out is in Return of the Jedi. Return of the Jedi is commonly thought of as the weakest of the original three.
Okay.
Because it has kind of like the Ewoks, and you know, Han Solo doesn't get to do as much. And
but weren't the Ewoks kind of the Jar Jar of their time?
Yeah, like, although I mean, suddenly
people hate them the same amount.
Well, then Jar Jar came out, and suddenly the Ewoks were paradise. But at the time it was like, yo, why do I have the original script? Apparently it was supposed to be Kashyyyk, which was the homeland of Chewbacca, and it was supposed to be a ton of Wookiees, but instead they did Ewoks. But in any event, it's considered kind of bad. But I think that most people would agree that the first half hour, which is kind of almost like a heist, it's like all of the old characters coming together to save Han Solo from Jabba the Hutt. Is a really excellently executed, you know, it's like watching one by one the whole band get back together, and then it kind of culminates in a brilliant action sequence. We learn more about Luke. For the first time we see Luke as a full blown Jedi and not as a guy in training. And that's all very well done. And in the re-release, right in the middle of all of that brilliance, he stops and he gives you a CG music video.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
Like,
where
what the fuck am I watching?
with Jabba the Hutt's slave, right?
Right. She's like,
I was super impressed that they got the original girl back. That was great, and she looks amazing. But yeah, it's awful.
Snice Noodles and the Something Band, but oh man, it's like,
oh my god,
it's this terrible song that I is unfortunately burned into my skull. Because
we should find this. Find it on YouTube. Look it up.
It's
absolutely.
It's truly it's terrible. Awful. So that took me out of it. Even, you know, obviously one of the most well-remembered special edition scene was in A New Hope. Jabba makes an appearance in the special edition, which is kind of weird.
Is this where his tail gets stepped on?
Yeah, because they had to have Han Solo in the original shooting walked around the back of him. And the guy obviously didn't have a tail. They hadn't even designed Jabba yet until Return of the Jedi. So they had cut the scene. So they had to kind of explain how to make Han get around him. And they just sort of CG'd him on top of the tail. It's still terrible. But more than that, it's terrible because all of the plot information that's presented in that scene was already adequately presented in the Greedo scene. So, and of course, yeah, Greedo shooting first, which, I mean, every iteration – the Greedo shooting first thing is a little different. Like the speed at which they shoot at each other is different. It's just, man, just leave the Mona Lisa alone, man. It was perfect the way it was.
Do you think you'd be as pissed about these changes if the prequels didn't exist? Do you think that the prequels kind of add an insult onto the injury?
Well, that's kind of like being like, would you, like if I broke your arm, would you be as pissed? Would you be more pissed if I also broke your leg? You're like, it's like, yeah, the more you hurt me, the more I'm mad.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I mean, if like, you know, the special edition was a small infraction, I would say, compared to the prequels. The prequels are unadulterated Lucas diarrhea.
So, John, I think we need to bring you in and
you think?
Let you have the last word on the prequels, because... this was your first time, and now you have a fully formed opinion of what they're about, so...
Well, I thought they were very average and sucked at best. I just... you know, it's just...
There you go.
You watch it, it's like, well, okay, I watch it just because I guess it's something you should watch. And
because
shit,
I was holding you hostage.
Well, that too.
At my apartment.
Well, that...
And forcing you to watch it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But... You know,
so you never
when
have
I
to
watch it again,
I was going to say you never have to.
I was going to say, yeah, I would prefer not to.
So you never have to watch it again, but do you feel glad that you can form your own opinion of it now?
Not really, because I don't really have much of it. It's just average at best. Uh-huh. And it really didn't do anything for me, period.
Right.
Of course, I don't know how much of that was watching them back to back to back with so little, you know, sleep and shit. Too.
Yeah.
When you'd rather be sleeping.
I mean, if you were wide awake and sober, it would definitely suck more.
Yeah. See, so it was probably a good thing that I'd been drinking most of the day by that point.
Yeah, I would say.
But yeah, it was average at best, and I just don't have a very strong opinion on the whole thing. It just...
Well, you know what was nice about it?
What was that?
We got to spend a few hours together.
Yeah, that was
pretty
nice.
Great.
Well, turn.
And Fernando made some pretty awesome jokes.
He did. I was very impressed.
Yeah. So that was nice.
Yeah, that was nice.
Well, that's nice.
Next time we'll do it with a good movie.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll do that.
Or just turn the TV off.
And just turn the TV off and what?
Talk. Enjoy each other's company. Do it. I like how you're like, but if television is off, what happens to us? Where do we go when TV is off?
I didn't say that at all.
Turn TV off and do what exactly, Francis?
All right, Francis. What did you bring in today, Francis?
What did I bring in today?
Oh, have you seen... God, what is it? Oliver and Company?
It's been a while, man.
Oh,
but there's a dog named Francis, isn't there?
Yeah.
I only remember one thing about that movie.
The dog named Francis?
No, I remember, well, apparently two things. I remember, if this is torture, chain me to the wall.
Yeah, well, there's a real douchey one named Francis, and he doesn't want to be called, he doesn't want to be called Frank, nor Frankie, but Francis.
Oh, boy.
So
giving me a bad rap.
Sound thrilled.
So, Frankie.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. People can, of course, still to this day, go and watch Lord of the Rings by George Lucas. You can just do a YouTube search for that.
Absolutely. But if they like some of the things you've been saying and they also want to find your videos, maybe they should search for you directly on YouTube. And how would they do that?
The channel is JVC Felix. You're going to see all kinds of pretty much all of my best content is on there. So that includes Howawi videos, cartoons.
Some of which I've been in. Not the cartoons, the Howawi.
Yeah.
How do you know a cartoon character wasn't written about you?
Oh, jeez. Not yet. Maybe someday.
Okay. Maybe.
But
maybe. Make it happen.
Also on Vimeo as well, right? Your JVC Felix. There's some content there as well.
Right. There's all kinds of good stuff there. But the best place in the world to look at all my shit is the Red Cow Entertainment Facebook page. So facebook.com/Red Cow Entertainment. You'll see everything in order.
Go to the website, redcowentertainment.com. That's also quite nice. And you can find me there.
Emily likes it because her podcast is on there.
I know. My podcast. And if you like what I'm doing here, you can email me at loneholdout@redcowentertainment.com. Not that anyone has up to this point.
Has no one ever?
No one ever.
No way.
Someone help her out, man. Especially if you want to, like, get with her. You know, that's all... that's all you would have to do at this point.
That's all it takes, really. Yeah. Well,
be the first.
She would know you're listening, right? That's a good way to make your way into a woman's life. Go listen to the episode where we reviewed her Craigslist thing. You know, you can tell that she's love hurts, as I sang.
Fraser Crane, and I'm listening.
You can also tweet at me @loneholdout. And Lone Holdout also has a Facebook page. So lots of ways of getting into my pants.
Just for their own, I mean, if they're Star Wars fans and shit, can I recommend that they go watch the Plinkett reviews once again?
Hell yes. Absolutely.
And I would also recommend
100%.
If you love watching things that comically disparage the prequels, I also have to recommend my good friend and popular YouTube reviewer, Confused Matthew. He does half-hour-long reviews of each prequel, and they're all wonderful. So go check those out. Especially if you like films reviewed in the style of, if you really like the writing of it and you want to look at the writing, Confused Matthew's really good for that.
Well, how about also getting on Netflix and looking up The People versus George Lucas, featuring our very own Frankie Frayn.
Indeed. That's a great movie, actually. They did a great job with that.
It's a good watch, regardless, but it is also very neat to see your lovely face. And your lovely face is quite appreciated. And would you like to play us out?
Don't cook naked.
John?
Yeah, it's better not to do that. Don't cook naked.
Don't cook naked.
Naked.
Naked. Don't cook naked.
Don't cook naked.
Don't be cooking naked.
Good night.
Talk to me, baby. Talk to me, baby. Talk to me, baby. Talk to me, baby.
Yo, it's Steamroll Sally here. I got a few. Remember, there was a time when there were jokes on this podcast. Little boy named Tycho used to tell them. And then Steamroll Sally came along, told the jokes, frankly, better in funnier voices and in a way.
Frankly, better and with voices.
And so
those are the three things I need to make me laugh.
We're going
to
steamroll through a few jokes right now. Now, I guess let's start with perhaps the Emperor's voice, right?
Senator Palpatine?
Yeah, Senator Palpatine. So, I can do Amidala.
Why do storm...
Fuck.
What do you call stormtroopers playing Monopoly?
God, I wish you guys could see him right now. He's doing a whole look, too. What do you call them?
Game of Clones. Good. Why did the angry Jedi cross the road? to get Why? To the dark side.
So there's a little bit of that. How about you guys seem to really like the Jar Jar voice, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Oh, yes.
When did Annie's Jedi Masters know he was leaning toward the dark side? In the Sith grade! Woosha!
We did Frank. We were talking about Frank Oz. Maybe I could do Fozzie or Grover or Cookie Monster. You got any preferences there?
Cookie Monster.
Yoda seems apropos. But,
yeah, I don't, I'll be honest. I can't really do a good Yoda.
Okay.
I mean,
so you're gonna do a Frank Oz non-Yoda.
Yeah. All right. He wants Cookie Monster. So let's do that.
All right. Always okay.
Cookie Monster.
All right.
Why do doctors make the best Jedi?
Why?
Because a Jedi must have pigeons. Nom 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 nom.
Yeah, you saved it there at the end.
Nom 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 nom. Nom 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 nom. Oh, it's so good.
That almost just is
yeah,
Arnold.
Now you're Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah.
How is duct tape like the Force? He has a dark side, a light side, and it binds the galaxy together. Hey, what do you call a potato that has turned to the dark side? Vader tots.
What?
Vader tots.
Vader tots. It's so stupid.
Maybe Sylvester Stallone. Maybe that'd be funny.
What? Okay.
You know, how do Ewoks communicate over long distances, you know? They got Ewoky talkies, you know? It's mental irregular, you know? Mick.
Are we out of voices? I don't know.
In the world?
What do you call Chewbacca when he has chocolate stuck in his hair?
What?
Chocolate chip Wookiee.
Wow.
Good.
That's what the Emperor always has to do is like I remember in Return of the Jedi when he finally gets Luke to kind of like lash out and go to the dark side, he starts applauding and walking down the stairs and yelling good, which is obviously going to just make himself aware and stop. Like he should have just been like, oh shit, I'm not saying a word, but no. No, he had to be like, good. That's why every joke has to end with good. Just to make sure that you know it's unfunny.
Hey, Brinky.
What?
Which Star Wars character uses meat for a weapon instead of a lightsaber? Obi-Wan Baloney. Obi-Wan Baloney, Brinky. Hey, Brinky. I fucking quit, Brinky.
Anyway.
Oh, you are awful.
That's going to be it for Steamroll Sally. She's steamrolled aplenty.
Good night.